We now come to our time of scripture reading. I'm going to be reading 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had an origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And now we will turn the service over to Pastor Galen.
I know I have not been here long. We came here at the end of December, and it's hard to believe that it's already April. We've been here almost 4 months, right? January, February, March, April. Praise the Lord that we are here with you. What a joy it has been to serve you. One of the things I found out yesterday that I did not know is that this pulpit has something written on it. And yesterday, as I was leading the service for Lyndon Morgan, I saw the words and I thought, wow, what is that? Who has written on this pulpit? Does anybody know what it says? I guess if you're not behind it, you wouldn't see it. But I love the words. It says, "We want to see Jesus," is what it says. We wish to see Jesus. And it's John 12:21. And I thought, what a beautiful inscription to have on your pulpit, that we want to see Jesus. And it reminded me today as we sang the song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart," that should be our desire as we come into God's house, to want to see Jesus, to have our eyes open so that we can see Him in the Spirit and we can be aware of His presence, that presence that's always around us. And the Bible says is with us as we come to worship our Lord. Let's open our eyes and let's have that desire to see Jesus. Amen? I'm going to give you our vision statement at Covenant Brethren Church right here in Shippensburg, and we're going to put it up here for you to see. Maybe you know this vision statement. We have been looking at it. We've been thinking about it. We've been encouraged to memorize it, because it would be wonderful for you to be able to say to someone on the street, if they ask you, "Hey, what is the vision of Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church?" that you could say this. So I'm going to read it to you. And then when we get to that last part, let's all say it together. Our vision here at this church is, with unity and Christ-like attitudes, we will pray and seek the Holy Spirit so that we can do this. Here we go. We can
love better, teach the truth, and develop.
Let's do it one more time. We can
love better.
Good job today. That is a wonderful vision statement, because it tells us what God wants for His church, and it is solidly based on His truth. And we are looking in the next few messages at the importance of teaching the truth. And we're going to look today at the importance of God's Word. We're going to look at the importance of God's Word in our church, but also the importance of God's Word in our lives. I have a brother, I have two actually, one that's 15 years older than me, and I have a brother that's 10 years older than me, who lives in Houston, Texas. And when we were little, we shared a room. Anybody ever done that? Shared a room with a brother or sister? I see some people who are sympathetic. With my brother in my room and his room, there were times when my side of the room would get very messy. And my brother would say to me, he would say very loudly, he would say, "Clean your side of the room, would you?" That's what he would say. Here's what I would say. "You're not the boss of me." Anybody ever said that? But if my parents told me to clean my side of the room, I did not say, "You're not the boss of me." I said, "Yes, sir," or "Yes, ma'am." And if I didn't, I knew what would happen. And I did it not for my brother. I did it because my parents said to do it, because I knew that they were the final authority. I knew that I had better listen to them. You know, there are some people who believe that God's Word should have no authority in their lives. I have talked to people who have said to me, "I can't believe there are people who believe in biblical authority." And these people who called themselves Christians did not feel that God's Word should have authority in their lives. And I have talked to people who believe that the Bible is a collection of made-up stories. But I want us to pay attention today to what was read for us this morning, that Roxanne read to us from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, but prophets spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible is not a collection of made-up stories. God's Word says about itself that the Bible, that God's Word should have the greatest authority for us. And listen to me today, God's Word should have the final authority, because God's Word says about itself that it comes from God Himself. So God's Word should have the final authority. What I want us to think about today is where God's Word should have this final authority. And first, I want us to see that God's Word should have the final authority in the church. In today's world, some people may ask questions of the Bible. And especially in today's world, they may ask questions about hot-button issues that are facing this world in which we live. And they may ask, how should the church respond? And one of those questions that someone may ask the church is, someone may ask, should two men get married in the church? What does the church believe about two men or two women being married in the church? And brothers and sisters, our answer should not be based on our opinion. I have heard of churches who have said, "Well, let's find out what people's opinions are to this question. Let's find out what people feel about this question." But our answer should not be based on someone's feelings or someone's opinions. We should look to the final authority of God's Word. Amen? That's where our answer should come. And when we look to God's word, the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 24, right at the beginning of God's word, the Bible says that marriage is between one man and one woman. And then later, Jesus repeats this, and Jesus himself says that marriage is between one man and one woman. That's God's template for marriage. That's God's final answer. It's the final authority. And it comes from God's word. Someone may also ask us this question. What does the church believe about abortion? What does the church teach about babies being killed in the womb? And someone has told me that there's a state that may say that it's okay to terminate a pregnancy as late as 9 months after conception. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that. What does our church teach and believe? And again, brothers and sisters, we should not look to our own opinion, to our own feelings. We should look to the final authority of God's word. And we can turn to places like Psalm 139, one of my favorite passages, that says we were knit together in our mother's womb. What a beautiful passage of scripture that speaks about the sacredness of life, that we were knit together in our mother's womb. So if we're knit together in our mother's womb, God wants us to protect life at all costs. We see that's the final authority. God's word should be the final authority in our church. Here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, God's word should have the final say. It should be the final authority. Not our opinions, not our feelings, but we should base everything we believe, we should base everything we do on the solid truth of God's word. Amen? So for us today, I want us to understand that scriptures is clear, that God's word should have the final authority in the church. But God's word should also have the final authority in our lives. I want us to think about some areas today in our lives where God's word should have the final authority. And one of the areas of our lives that God's word should have the final authority is our finances. And when we turn through the pages of God's word, we see the importance of honoring God with our finances. We see places where the Bible says that we shouldn't make money the center of our lives. If we continue to look in the pages of Scripture, we see that the Bible says that we should tithe at least 10%. That's not including our offerings, which are above that. But we are called by God to tithe at least 10% of our income. That's what the Bible teaches us. And when we look at the pages of the Bible and we think about our finances, that should be the final authority, God's word, for our lives. Another area is our marriages. That's an area where God's word should have the final authority. And we've already talked about God's plan for marriage being one man and one woman as the final authority. The Bible also tells us that the husband and wife in a marriage are called to respect one another. As we read the pages of Scripture, we see this. This respect that we're to have for our husbands and our wives. The Bible teaches us in regard to marriage that we're called to love one another, to show love for each other. And we see that in our marriages, the final authority should be the word of God. Another area of our lives is raising our children, that we see God's word should have the final authority. When we read God's word, we see that we are to train our children in God's ways. We're to talk about God's word. We're to share God's word with our children. And the Bible says in one part of Scripture regarding raising our children that we're to discipline our children. Instead of allowing our children to go their own way, whichever way they desire, we are called to discipline them. And we get this not based on our own opinion, not based on what we feel, but we get this because we get it from the final authority of God's word. Now, we could turn to other areas where of our lives where God's word should have the final authority. There are other places where we can read how God wants us to live. But listen to me today, God's word should be the final authority in every area of our lives. In every single area. God's word should have the final authority in our finances. God's word should have the final authority in our marriages. God's word should have the final authority in how we raise our children. We can turn to the pages of God's word and we can find how he calls us to live our lives. God's word should have the final authority in the church, but God's word should also have the final authority in our daily lives. This morning, I want us to think again about a pledge that we made last week in our worship service. You know, we talked about the fact that as children, many of us said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And we would stand up every morning after we entered the school and we would pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. But even greater than our flag is the Word of God. And so today, I want to encourage us, if we could put that slide up this morning, if we have it. That's your cue, Denny Miller. There's the pledge to the Bible. And this was written, as I said last week, by a Southern Baptist minister in 1925. And it's used all across this nation for vacation Bible schools. It's used in church camps. And it underlines the importance of standing for and committing our lives to the Word of God. Because the Word of God should have the final authority in the church, and it should have the final authority in our lives. And so today, I want to encourage you. If you believe the words of this pledge, and you'll see this pledge up on the screen today, where we are pledging our allegiance to God's Word, we are saying that we will make it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and we are saying that we will hide its words in our hearts so that we will not sin against God. And so what we're doing is we're committing ourselves to the authority of Scripture in our lives. We're committing ourselves to doing our best with the help of the Holy Spirit to live out God's Word and to make God's Word the final authority for our lives and for our church. And so I want to invite you today, if you want to make that commitment, would you please stand if you're able? And we're going to say again the words to this pledge. And I want to encourage you today to not just say the words, but to commit these words to your daily lives so that you live out what this pledge says, not only in our church, but in our daily walk with the Lord. And let's say together these words. And if you would you put your hand on your heart today? as a commitment to live this out in your heart and in your daily lives. And let's say this together. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, may God's word always be the final authority here in this church, but may God's word always be the final authority in our lives. And together, all of God's people said, Amen. Anybody go to the Woodcarvers Festival? I see a few hands. It was a cool thing that happened in Shippensburg that I had no idea about. These festivals kind of take me by surprise because I'm new to Pennsylvania, and so people have to tell me sometimes why I'm stuck in traffic. They have to say to me, Pastor, it's the Corn Festival. That's why you were stuck in traffic, because I'm still thinking with a Virginia mind, not a Pennsylvania mind. And so maybe you had the opportunity to go to the Woodcarvers Festival, because there was one at the fairgrounds this past weekend. Maybe you didn't go, but you saw pictures. And if you've ever seen those pictures, they are absolutely amazing. To see what somebody can do with a block of wood blows my mind. How they can transform it from a block of wood to something extra special. And as I think about that Woodcarvers Festival and that transformation that took place in a block of wood, I think about how God can transform our lives and change us into the people He wants us to be. And He does that in so many different ways. Sometimes we have pain in our lives, and God can use that pain to transform us and mold us. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced that transformation. Maybe you've never received Jesus as your Savior. But true transformation can only come from Him. And the only way that we can start that change process is to receive Him into our lives, to turn from our past, to tell the Lord we're sorry, truly sorry for what we've done in our past. And the Bible says, through the blood of Jesus, He will cleanse us from our past and we can have a new start. The Bible says we become a new creation. So today, if you've never received Christ, we want to encourage you, to invite you today to receive Him as your Savior. We'll pray with you today. We'll pray for you today as you make the greatest decision that you will ever make. Perhaps you're here today and you're struggling. You need the prayers of God's people. There's something in your life you need help with. And we are a family. We're not just individual Christians. We're a unit. We're a body. And we would love to pray with you today and pray for you today if you're struggling with something in your life. We're going to sing a beautiful song. We're going to sing it twice. It's called Change My Heart, O God. And as we sing this song, if you've never received Christ as Savior, we want to encourage you to come and let Him change your heart. And perhaps today you need God's help and the prayers of God's people. We want to invite you to come. And perhaps today there's something in your heart and life that you want the Lord to change. And you can ask Him to do that right where you are. We want to invite you, if the Lord has placed something on your heart, to come right now as we stand and sing. Won't you please stand and let's sing together, "Change My Heart, O God." If the Lord has placed something on your heart today, please come. Will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we thank you so much for your holy word. And Father, we pray today that you will help us to make your word the final authority for this church. Help us to look to your word for decisions that are made here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church. May we seek your truth above everything else. And Father, I pray that you would help us to make your holy word the final authority for our everyday lives. Help us look to you as we make daily decisions and help us rely on your word. Father, I pray that as we leave this place that you will help to change us and mold us and shape us into the people that you desire us to be. And as we leave this place, Father, I pray for safety to be on each one. We offer this prayer in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the one who is our Savior and Lord. And together, all of God's people said, amen.